All right, we'll turn it over to Mike Best.
There's just nothing more important than your communion with God. I hope that you will understand that now and that you will diligently think about that for the rest of your lives. There is nothing more important than your personal communion with God, because the deepest wells produce the freshest water. Imagine being set before a table that looks like a sumptuous feast, only to discover that all of your favorite dishes are full of poison. Imagine mom calling you to your favorite meal, perhaps your wife calling you to your favorite meal, and you look at the table and there's nothing but plates and glasses and silverware, and there's nothing to put on the plates or in the glasses or for which to use the silverware. And you look and say, "Mom or honey, where's the food?" Let's just pretend. Let's make believe. You cannot nourish your body on the make believe. You cannot be healthy with poison. And nothing is more important than your personal communion with God. In serving up what God's cooked up. That's your role. I've been preaching for 35 years full time. I think it would be a safe thing to say that the average preacher speaks four times a week, Neil. You'll have two sermons, a Sunday Bible class somewhere, and a Wednesday Bible class. 52 weeks in a year. That will be what? 208 times a year. 35 years times 208. 24, 2, 3 times 2. Is that going to be correct?
Correct. Keep going.
So what have we got?
72.8.
What?
72.8.
That's a lot. The deepest wells produce the freshest water. Nothing is more important than your communion with God. Four observations I'd like for you to keep in mind. Observation number one, holy activities can become heartlessly habitual. Holy activities can become heartlessly habitual. A conveyor belt of Bible classes. David's sin was ever before me, he said. Sunday is always coming. It's ever before you. Thousands of lessons, sermons. Holy activities can become heartlessly habitual. They, to where we're just preparing sermons and there is not a deep and rich communion with God in our lives. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. When your delight is for communion with Him, you can preach and teach from the overflow because your greatest desire is to love Him, to honor Him, to know Him.
Holy activities can become heartlessly habitual. And I'll tell you, it's just day two, but we can be studying the Bible like it's just any book, but I'll guarantee you the Bible is not like any book.
Amen. Amen.
Because of its author and because of its message. Holy activities can become heartlessly habitual without continuing communion with a great and awesome God. Remember Matthew 6, 19 through 21? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Communion with God's work. But it is delightful, joyful work. When you do what you enjoy, in one sense, you never work a day in your life. Holy activities can become heartlessly habitual. Universal observation number two. Holiness is not a condition into which we drift. Just got holy. That's me. Just happened. Hi-ya! Hi-ya! Holiness is not a condition into which we drift. But it is a condition from which we can drift. Perfecting holiness in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Pursue holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. In hot pursuit of holiness, because more than anything, I want communion with God. Donnie, oh, to be like Him. This is my constant longing and prayer. Holiness is not a condition into which we drift. It involves the pursuit. It involves perfecting it. It's a process. It's the adventure of a lifetime. Be holy, even as He who called you is holy, in all manner of conduct. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. First universal statement, holy activities can become what? That starts to happen, watch out. It's saying something about communion with God, your communion with God. The second universal observation, holiness is not a condition into what? But we can do what? We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, that we not drift from them. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Universal observation number 3. You got your Bibles handy? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. And then to 1 Timothy 4 verse 15. Adam Warnaby, in 1 Timothy 4 verse 6. Read it, please.
In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been taught.
Adam, go down now and read verse 15.
Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progression will be evident to all.
Now here's the universal observation. Holy activities can become heartlessly habitual. Holiness is not a condition into which we drift, but from which we can drift away. God wants us to be good ministers whose progress is obvious to others. If a man desires to be a shepherd, he desires a good work. 1 Timothy 3:1.
In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, in discussing Jesus and what he has done for us, it's good. What we have in him is so good. And as we think about this, I don't want to just be a servant. I want to be a good one. You should want to be a good one. You cannot be a good servant without continuing in communion with the King. The sad fact about far too many preachers' spiritual lives is that they don't have much of a spiritual life. How can they therefore be good ministers regardless of how successful they may seem to be outwardly? If you put the brethren in mind of these things, things he's been talking about in the section preceding in 1 Timothy, matters of doctrine, matters of worship, matters of leadership, matters of ministry, 1 Timothy chapter 4. You'll be a good minister if you put the brethren in mind of these things. Noble. The kind of person God can use. What that says to me, if I am not stressing personal communion with God, I am not ultimately the kind of man that God can fully use. And therefore, Danny, I could not be a good minister. That's your progress, verse 15. God gives others the right to look at you and your life to determine if progress is being made. Advancement. The same words found in Philippians 1, verse 12. The progress, the advancement of the gospel. Philippians 1, 25. The advancement of spiritual growth in your life, Michael. God says people can look and see if you're progressing. And you know what? You've been married to Sweet Lynn all these years, and she says you're in a rut. You take note of that. And if Lynn says to you, I'm so proud of you and the way you've grown as a man of God and the impact it's had on our lives, it has been so special, that is saying you have had with God and his impact is felt. Universal truth number 4. Are you ready? Discipline without delight is drudgery. Discipline without delight is drudgery. But flip it. Discipline with delight is devotion. Now say it with me. Discipline without delight is what?
Drudgery.
Discipline with delight is what?
Devotion.
That's right. A person may be disciplined, but I don't think I necessarily have to call them devoted. But when they're disciplined and they delight in the relationship and what's being done, that person's devoted, aren't they? Discipline plus delight equals devotion. Now, turn to 1 Timothy 4 one more time. Brother Jim, read verses 7 and 8.
From chapter 4?
Yes.
Have nothing to do with the irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Stay away from poison, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Be a good minister, verse 6. Now notice 7 and 8. Stay away from the make-believe and the silly. And emphasize what's substantial and filling and and good. Discipline, exercise yourself. What? New American Standard. Exercise yourself. Discipline yourself for the purpose of
godliness.
Godliness. That's the end in view. Discipline plus delight. When He's our treasure, when we delight in Him and He's all that we want. Discipline yourself to godliness. Flip over to Romans 8 and verse 29. Romans 8 and verse 29. Parker, when you get there, read it, please.
For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren.
Conformed, shaped, fashioned. After Jesus. To have seen Jesus was to have seen the Father, John 14 and verses 8 and 9. And to see you, should be to see Jesus. And to see you too should be to see Jesus. Nothing in the world is more important than your personal communion with God. That communion will energize you, delight you, thrill you, and transform you over a lifetime. Amen.
Amen. Amen.